Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Let me do my best auto impression. Amen. That's how my son prays every night. And he's very insistent that he prays now, and not Jen or I usually. It's a holy babble, as you were to say. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A few things before I really launch into it. I'm especially excited to share this day with Tyler and Logan. 4 years ago when I started, there hadn't been confirmation here for a couple of years, and I was just scratching my head that this was written into my call contract, and yet there were kind of no kids in church at the time. But we adapted things quite a bit, and instead of just doing a two-year solid in seventh and eighth grade, as a lot of churches do, we opened it up and saw the importance of continual teaching of the faith. So I'm excited to share this day and as an affirmation of all that Tyler and Logan have grown, as we rejoice with them in that this day. Also, I must confess to you that I had a lot, about half, two-thirds of my sermon written, but in a good twist of the Spirit this day, came in to finish this morning at 8:30, and as I last checked before service began, my computer was still updating come 10 o'clock. So I have to let the Holy Spirit blow through me, to preach to you this day. But I wanted to share with you the prayers and the ways in which my son prays. Because it is a holy, holy way, I think, that he speaks to God. He prays in a language that I do not understand, that God does. That day, 50 days, on the 50th day after Jesus' resurrection, the Spirit poured out upon the people, the apostles. And it must have been, it seems similar to the babbling that my son does every night as he lifts his prayers to God. What was going on? We hear in our text from today, they had no clue what was happening. Now, unlike my son's prayers, they understood that these were real languages that they were speaking in, that the apostles were speaking in. But they didn't know these languages. You know, they weren't language scholars of, thanks, Rod, by the way, of pronouncing Phrygia and Mesopotamia and Medes and the Elamites and all those great countries. It just came out of them. It just miraculously, in some holy twist of faith, fate, started speaking in all these different languages. Now, I always get a kick out of, and it's kind of low-hanging fruit to make fun of what Peter says, these men are not drunk for it's only 9 in the morning. But obviously, he had never been to the reservation. I'm sure a lot of people around here could show him a thing or two. But this is a holy moment in which we hear that, and the apostles experience that God came to bring this message, not to one people, not to one place, but for all the world. And came to do it in an astounding way, a way that was surprising and unexpected, they couldn't plan for. I was thinking about this week, things that and ways that the Spirit confounds us pastors, right? We like to do our best, like any profession, to get a read on things, you know, to know what we're doing, right? And yet, so often the Holy Spirit comes in and messes with all that. Another one for my son is, you know, I say the benediction at the end of every service, and I say it over my children every night. Well, he's adopted the practice of saying that over his sister and humbling his dear old dad. with this holy display of where I say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor. He does the same thing. He places his hand on his sister's head and says, blah, 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 blah. Amen. It's like, that's what you get from that? Another story I was thinking about this week came from a professor of mine and a pastor and pretty much the best preacher I've ever heard. His name is Walt Wongren. I think some of you know are familiar with this famous short story he wrote, Ragman. He's written many other books as well. Well, before becoming a lowly professor at Valparaiso University, he was a pastor serving in inner city Evansville, Indiana. Evansville is on the southern border with Kentucky, southern border of Indiana with Kentucky. And his congregation was primarily inner city. Evansville is a small city, but has a lot of problems with poverty and homelessness and a lot of needs. And his congregation was smack dab in the middle of all that. And as a result, you know, they responded to the need faithfully and missionally by partnering with various organizations to help feed people in their neighborhoods. And one of these, he told the story of one of these gentlemen one day caught him on the street and invited him up to his apartment and put out his apartment was threadbare, hardly any furniture or anything. And this guy put out a box and just as the biggest grin on his face and greatest generosity he can muster, this clearly downtrodden gentleman said, Reverend, anything you want. And this box of knickknacks and trinkets that were worth hardly anything at all. Now out of his gracious piety, the pastor said, Oh, I can't take anything from you. We served you in our food ministry, and it's a gift for you. We do not need anything in return. And with that, he walked out and thought he was holy and righteous for not receiving from this man who had little. But obviously, this left a hole in the man's heart because he still was pining to show gratitude towards this Lutheran congregation in southern Indiana. And he did what he thought we pastors always want, right? He showed up to church. He showed up to service that next Sunday. Now, the way my professor and pastor related to me, this man, as you might expect, did not have the greatest hygiene habits and was clearly reflected when he came to church that morning. With smells and all, he placed himself in a pew like one of ours. And the faithful regular attendees did their best to graciously respect his presence there, but keep as much space as possible for his smells to offend their noses the least. So this man was in a pew by himself with people kind of edging out as much as they could. Pastor Wongren related that they started their service, and throughout the whole thing, he was paranoid at this guy's presence. What would he do? What would this guy say? How would he interact with our good Lutheran worship, our order to things? Well, as the service got going, this man was would quite loudly interject in not so good Lutheran order, right? And say things like hallelujah and oh yeah, all right, yeah, amen. And it was one thing during the announcements and the hymns and the prayers and the Kyrie like we have in our worship here. But it's a little bit easier to roll with those kind of interjections up front during that portion of the service. Then it came to the sermon. And during the sermon, Professor Pastor Wongren had an extra preacher that day. As he preached and got on with his message, this man would interject and say, oh yeah, and just as loudly as the guy up front would say everything that he wanted to. It's basically a religious heckler that Sunday and all the ways. And as this kept happening, Pastor Wongren would preach louder to counteract this visitor to their congregation. And in response to Pastor Wongren preaching louder, this guy got louder too, and louder, and so on and so forth. And so the anxiety ramped up as this preacher got going and was trying to deal with this intruder into his message. Till about halfway through, the man stood up from his pew and said, "Reverend, I'm going to pray." And Pastor Wongren rushed down from his pulpit, put his hands on the man's shoulders and said, "No!" On reflection, that's kind of a weird thing for a pastor to say in church. "No, you can't pray." And the man, taken aback, said, "Well, why not?" Pastor Wongren said, "Because we have a time to pray." But that's maybe about as good of a justification as you can have in that kind of response, in that kind of exchange. And it worked to get the man to sit down at least. It didn't actually get him to stop interrupting, because then he was apologizing to everybody around him. "Oh, there's a time to pray. I didn't know there was a time to pray." When the man sat down, he was able to finally finish the sermon and continued with the worship, with the hymns, and then on to communion. And as Pastor Wongren, as they were taking up the offering, and Pastor Wongren was preparing for the Lord's Supper, he was turned towards the altar. When he turned back around, he saw this man was up front, right where he was. And this man, who was the object of their charity, who did not have much to his name, handed Pastor Wongren a dollar and said, "Now I'm going to pray for you, Pastor. Now it's time for me to pray for you." With that, the man turned and he walked out of the church, never to be seen there again. It's moments like these as pastors that we dread. These moments of spiritual truth where we are confounded by visitors who interrupt our messages that we like work so hard on. These moments of holiness just kind of smack us in the face. And the Spirit presents to us people that we do not expect in times and ways that we are not prepared for, in moments that we can barely handle. When the order that we perceive in God's activity in the world is turned upside down. It's moments when we pastors need to be prayed for. I was thinking about Otto's prayers, and I was thinking about my own prayer life and how I've spent years and years and years trying to learn how to pray best in English with eloquence, and be articulate, right? Lift up the prayerful needs of the people to God. But any eloquence I can muster will never be as beautiful or as holy as the babbling of my 2-year-old son. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through him. My professor pastor was trained to worship, and he knew the right time to pray and in the right way. But that day he needed the prayers of a vagabond to carry him back to God. The apostles were gathered at the center of the promised land, God's chosen, holy Zion. But that day the Spirit swept them up to scatter them across the world, so that all may know that there was salvation. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. Whatever we think God is doing in the world, God is surely doing more than we can ever expect. If there is a place where we have encountered our living Lord, God is found in a million other places. If we have heard a word of grace in our own language, God's love is surely spoken into the lives of others through thousands of different tongues. And the image of God is wonderfully portrayed in billions of people all across this small world of ours. People of all shapes and sizes, nationalities, races, and even other religions. God is not limited and bound like you and me, but breaks forth in unexpected times and unexpected places through unexpected people. Pentecost is all about finding God in the whirlwind. Say, many in this room, perhaps most of us, would probably prefer for God to be a little more orderly and operate in expected ways. I'm here today to tell you, tough luck. The Spirit of God will blow through our midst and make us start saying crazy things. Crazy things like the dead will rise again, the captives will be set free, and sinners will be forgiven by the same God that they have wronged. The Spirit will blow through this house and so many others to make us pray for the rich, or for the sick and the hurting, as well as the rich, and help those who cannot help themselves, to do crazy things like care for other people for no real reason at all, other than the fact that they exist. The Spirit grabs us when we need it most to reassure us that there is hope and purpose beyond this present moment, by showing us in this present moment that God is moving farther and wider than we can ever imagine. And if we cannot even grasp what God is doing in our midst here today, imagine what God will do tomorrow and all the days to come. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.